If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
This is the OXS Jamaica podcast, Reasonings with Odessa, episode 4. Hey everyone, how are you doing? How's your summer going? Summer's still going on, you know, time out. But we got rain today in Jamaica and I give so much thanks for that. Just cool down the place a little bit more. I want to pick up my Drinky Blue sponsors. I'm drinking right now, Appleton with a splash of ting. Again, ting. Yeah, so what? Ting goes with everything, guys. It's amazing. And it makes your cocktails just, you know, a little bit refreshing. Anyway, I just want to go straight into our interview with, I'm just going to let the music play and then you're going to hear it. So let's go and have this Reasonings right now. Boom.
I'm with.
Everybody, I'm here with somebody that released a really fucking dope album. What are you laughing for? I'm here with Kabaka Period. I'm also here with somebody that I bust up in Ludi like a couple of years ago. Kabaka, we got to do a rematch, right?
You know, I don't recall being bust up.
You were bust up. I bust you up, man. I have it on Snapchat as well.
Bad
I can still dig it. Bad man, I take boss up. like mango. I'm boss him up like a mango that drop off of a tree. But I'm here with... I went to his album launch last week, guys, and I was blown away, truly blown away by lyrics, production, everything. Tell me about Contraband. Tell me about this new... It's your first album?
First album. Yeah, so we've done EPs, we've done compilations, mixtapes. Now is the right time for the album. I never want to do an album before. I felt like I could really make an impact with it. And when Damian Linkway and say, oh, I would have loved to do an album, produce an album for me, it's like, them time, we definitely felt the confidence that this was the right time. And from after we did Well Done back in 2014, 2015, from them time, we've just been working on music.
How did you meet Damian?
You know,
and that's Damian Marley for those that really are like lost.
Yeah. The first time I met him was at Bob Marley Museum. I believe it was EJ Rush that introduced me to him.
Why Rush?
Yeah. And then the second time I actually linked with him is Jazzy T did bring around him studio in Miami. Uh-huh. And them time they really established the link. And yeah, it was about a year after that we worked on Well Done together.
What was it that Damian liked about you? Because you're both lyricists and I know D's like his thing is about... He loves hip hop as well. And the first time I ever saw you was at a show that Protege brought you up at Tracks and Records.
Yeah.
And you was, this was a long time, and you were spitting some lyrics. And I was like, rah, this kid must love hip hop.
Yeah.
So is that why you and Damian got together?
I mean, you'd have to ask him still, but I know that have to be part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's definitely a chemistry and a similar upbringing when it comes to the music, like similar influences and all of them things that would be in hip hop, dancehall, reggae, that are the trinity where a lot of our inspiration come from, you know. And I knew that, I think, like gradually, like over time working together, I think him realized that me was a good artist to work with because me I go get things done on my own even without him, you know what I mean? So it's not like an artist where him I forgot do everything for. And him have to depend on my case for make sure things are get done. So I think that did help with the whole process. And definitely the lyricism, all of them things, like, him never really have to, like, even help me too much with the songwriting and all them things, because him kind of trust my process, just like how I would have trust him process. You know, and even if he did want it to help me with the writing, but I take that help because I know, say, him is a songwriter, you know, brilliant songwriter, one of the best, you know, where reggae music has seen. So, you know, it's just a joy to work with them, man, and just really explore new horizons in the music.
Where do you come from? Like, are you a Kingstonian or are you a country boy or what?
Town, man, Kingston.
Where in town?
Kingston 6, up on Mona, uptown? Mona Poppy in them side, yeah.
Uptown? Yeah. Or were your parents educated people?
Yeah,
because most of the people that come from Mona,
their families are always like the rebellious, educated people that used to go to UWE.
My parents, I wouldn't say rebellious still, but definitely educated. I mean, the two of them come from poverty in our country,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, work them way into society, like getting them education. And my mother was a teacher. You know, my father's a businessman and an electrical engineer.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember him usually go to UTEC for doing engineer class, and him couldn't even afford the class. Yeah. Him usually just go in there, you know what I mean? And then he end up take the test them and pass him exam and get him license. And from then, him just start make money, you know, and him have that hustler mentality. So, you know, but him usually walk barefoot, go school, how much yes. miles in a Portland. So, you know, when Damian sing about my daddy made it out of the ghetto, yeah. you know, it's like, it mean a whole heap to me too, you know?
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. Straight. I can connect to that song.
Straight.
So, what was I going to say now? Because I just want to know a little bit more about Kabaka. A lot of people just know you from, I can remember, as I said, I remember the first time I saw you come on stage, and that was at the Protégé show.
Yeah.
And I was like, who the hell is this kid and where did he come from? And so tell me how you got into music, how you got into reggae.
Yeah.
And we're going to go into a bit of hip-hop talk in a minute, but how did you get into music?
I mean, music, for me, it started with a sound system still. So
what sound system?
Time Bomb Sound. You know, me and my brethren, them just had some little youth. I run up and down in a Jamaica, in a Kingston. I play at little parties and Sweet 16 and all them something there, you know, like, yeah. Uptown you then, you know, me usually the one who I make the remix them on the sound. So like, I would have put the dancehall a cappella them over the hip hop beats yeah. them.
So this them is like the Renaissance days. This is like
yeah,
the
man, Renaissance.
What's his name?
Copper Shot, guy Code Red,
Syndicate,
Nemesis.
Yep.
You know, when computer sound just come out and Nitro CD yep. sound and them
things. Adonai, them. All of that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. them days. So, you know, we grew up knowing enough of them sound man and thing and. Yeah, it's actually Kid Corrupt did give my son the name Time Bomb.
Ah.
Our crew the name Bomb Squad. And we say, oh, we want a different name for
that's
the sound.
And they
say, yeah. You know, we'd have like him and Duplet, Wayne Marshall. We'd all get, we was the first sound uptown to get Cartel and Dup.
Ah.
Yeah, like.
What's your favorite Cartel track? Speaking of Cartel.
You know, I never really think about a favorite.
I'm gonna be raw. Black Cartel or Bleach Cartel?
Definitely Black. I talk about a song like, you know, McCall Canai with a buckle of talk. You know, them Cartel there.
Me because he's really a spit. Sing.
Yeah, lyrics.
Yeah, you know? He was more hip hop then.
Yeah, exactly. So him, we can tell, say him did listen enough like Eminem and them kind of rapper there. You know, just like how we did do. So, you know, from them time to now, we did build a home studio. We have a studio in our whole pastures, and that's how we usually voice the dub play them. But then my brother start to make beats and start to learn how to record music. So the whole of we just start write music them time there. And everybody want to be artists now. So it's like just me and all my brethren them when I put out some CD together, like some album. We are call it album, you know, because we are all we know about is album, because we watch a hip hop man them and them thing there. So, you know, we do them thing and print up a CD them and they are UWE, hand out CD, all kind of thing. But a lot of it was like probably 80% hip-hop.
All right.
You know, and it's like them time, and Jamaica never ready for no Jamaicans rapping and them thing.
No.
You did have Holocaust and you did have like 13 Tribe and enough ones where I do the rapping thing, but them never reached past a certain level.
No, it just difficult. Didn't sound right.
Yeah.
So, hip-hop now. I'm a hip-hop head. I'm an old-school hip-hop head. I'm not a millennial. Let's start with old-school hip-hop that, like, my generation, did you listen to any? I mean, most Jamaicans, when I moved to Jamaica, most Jamaicans were like, you like hip-hop? Yeah, mama love Biggie Smalls, man, and Tupac. And that was it. And it stopped right there. And no one knew anything about, like, Tribe Called Quest. No one knew about Kool Moe Dee. No one knew about Jungle yeah. Brothers. No one was into that. What was your inspiration from that era, if you know? And if not, what's your 90s era inspiration?
Yeah, I mean, I started listening to hip-hop 96. So me catch on to it late still. It was about 11 them time there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, you have to dig up, you know, to go back into the 80s and thing. But me did always gravitate towards like Rakim and mm-hmm. Like Big Daddy Kane, Cool G Rap and them man there. Them man there, you know, like the real streets knowledge man them. Yeah. And them man there, you know, me usually listen. But in my time, what about Wu-Tang? Wu-Tang was my main influence still, you know.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
When we start listening hip-hop, when we see that, right, that Triumph video.
Yeah.
Like, I did have to dig up the 36 Chambers. Because, as I said, I start listening 96. So that was like 93 or so.
So the Killer Bees video just got you.
Yeah, man. That Wu-Tang Triumph, Wu-Tang Forever album. We can come in like, I know every track is a double CD. And them, you know, we get heavy into Wu and Raekwon and, you know, Only Bill for Cuban Links and Supreme Clientele, Iron Man, all of them album there. And GZA was my favorite. But me start, you know, gravity, like me did hear this song with Inspector Deck and this youth named Cannabis, and then just pre-Cannabis now is like Cannabis, I'm an artist.
Cannabis
and
is him the bee's knees, man.
When you listen Cannabis, you can't listen nobody else, you know.
I've met Cannabis through Wyclef.
Crazy.
And Wyclef broke, and you know Cannabis is British.
Yeah, man.
And Jamaican.
Yeah.
So he knew the whole
Jamaican. Although LL Cool J same is Canadian, you know,
Cannabis is definitely Jamaican British.
For sure.
And he's fucking dope, so I can understand where you get here.
One of the baddest lyricists of all time.
So yeah. After your Cannabis inspiration, what kind of just made you go into reggae and roots reggae?
Well, my influence in a reggae is SZA, you know, and it starts and ends right there. You know, it's like,
so how are you on the cruise? Like, I saw you on the Welcome to Jamrock cruise last year.
Yeah,
and I saw you hang you, Damien, Stephen. I've never seen them stand up so quietly, like all of you lot, and just be like,
I wasn't quiet, maybe them was, but SZA, the man going on the catalog.
Yeah, man.
SZA gave you about 50 hit songs before him start doing any of them dancehall songs. Just think about that as an artist.
And somebody so young. Because SZA's
not.
The
man is unbelievable. The man is unbelievable. Like, he's probably the most talented reggae artist of all time.
I believe you.
Like, when you talk about versatility and the levels where him take the music, like, trust me.
Have you got a single with SZA? Is that your ultimate goal?
Technically, I do have one. It's a song with four of us. We never went in studio together. Me and Protégé, Chronix, and SZA on it. Yeah, and it's called Selassie Soldiers.
And is it out?
You can't get on. It's actually like, that has been my highest selling tune on iTunes. Like when you check iTunes and go Kabaka, you're going to see that right up at the top. It's just Contraband now with me and Gang.
Right.
Pass it out where they since that release. But yeah, man, it was a pretty big song in Jamaica and definitely over on the West Coast, because a youth over in California produced it, King Iver.
I know King Iver.
Oh, brethren, man.
No, man, so I think you need to just link. SZA, Dada, you're my brethren. Let's make this shit happen. And we need another one with just the two of them.
SZA heard song 2 days before mine. And I want to tell you from me, you ras up everybody. I say, yo, you know, say, look like SZA. It's like, but no, it's enough. Him inspire so many ones. It's like, enough ones even take on that SZA look there.
Mm-hmm.
Where him have, and, you know, where you fool your consciousness with, you will start to absorb it certain ways. So
SZA just got you into roots, to reggae.
To Rastafari, everything, well. everything. Like, him was the source for me when it come to Rasta. And other than, you know, reading on my own and them things, I mean, he's always a man who have to know what me I get into, you know. And but it's his music really. Cause I grew up, my father always a play some Bob Marley and thing when we drive go country as a little youth. But other than that, it's like my mother just listen like strictly gospel music. I grew up in the church. When I was 10, I was baptized and all them something there. So it's really SZA music now, just shift up the whole paradigm for me and change on my whole way of thinking. And them time, I just start Bon Herb and you know, herbs just open up your mind, make you start think about life differently.
Yeah.
And it's like Sizzler music just connect with me on a deep, deep level. You know?
Out of the 50 whatever, because Sizzler's about 76 albums or whatever.
Yeah.
Give me 5 of your top Sizzler songs.
So the top of your head. Like Mountains around Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go on. The man of this song and the same rhythm where the man of this song and the same rhythm where Norris man said persistence is to try throughout this precious time. How Sizzler won't go.
Remember that one, man.
Oh,
you remember. No.
But the man have so many songs.
The only
songs
that
the man
stuck in my head is I told you.
That's after the prime Sizzler days. But we are talking about songs like, you know,
do you want to
positively
know what
clear,
favorite song
positively
is?
Clear.
And he hates when I ask him to sing it.
What?
It's the worst Sizzler song ever. Pump up, pump up. All through the Jab Rock cruise, I kept going over to him. I'm like, so aren't you gonna sing Pump Up Her Pum Pum? And he's like, it's a clean show. Like, no, you gotta sing Pump Up Her Pum Pum for me. So during part of the cruise, he actually did do it.
Not on the stage.
Yes, he did do a part of Pump Up Her Pum Pum. I have it on video. I don't know why. That's just one of my songs that make me brock out. So that's the versatility of Sizzler. Yeah, he can make you feel a spiritual vibe, he can do it. And
Sizzler,
he can make it rock
top, it was on top of reggae and dance all at the same time.
Yeah.
And that is not a normal thing to do.
Not at all.
You know?
So let's go into like women. You have a track on your song about women, natural women.
Mm-hmm.
And is that something that you sing about and actually do? Because there's a lot of people that are Rasta and they sing about one thing and they don't do the other thing.
What do you mean if I do?
I want to know because I'm honest that way. I mean, I know artists.
If I keep my hair natural.
If you deal with a woman and is a woman natural, is a woman natural that you like, or do you just sing about it? Because there's some guys who are Rasta and they will say, yeah, man, you have to Rasta and you have to keep yourself this way and you have to keep yourself that way. And they don't. You see their woman and she's got bleach face and she's wearing like her biggest batty rider or whatever.
Way. Put it this way. I only bonafide there with like 3 girls in my life, and 2 of them are Rasta with locks, and 1 of them was like a kind of mixed brown China girl back in high school.
But natural.
Yeah, she, you know. So record clean.
So you won't see me coming up to you going, oi, what kind of girl like Kabaka? I'm kind of get, because you know I will ball you out, right?
Oh, yeah, you're not going to see that.
What's the name of that song on the album?
Natural Woman.
It's a beautiful song.
Yeah, give thanks.
It's a beautiful. What's your favorite track on the album so far on Contraband?
It's between probably Lyrics, Deity and Meaning of Life. Yeah, probably one of them two. But kind of one where most personal to me are My Time, because I produced that one myself, you know, build a rhythm from scratch and write it, sing my own harmonies, record myself.
Where did you record it?
In Miami. Oh, yeah, my mother's house. Yeah, just set up a little home studio. And, yeah.
How does your parents feel about your success thus far?
Well, my father always asks me some question, like, my father, if I'm not on Sean Paul level, it's like...
You know, my kids.
Because when I'm bridging them, he used to tour manage with Sean Paul. So I'm always, I say, yeah, but I see Sean Paul doing certain things, in our, you know? But nah, man, him love the whole progress. And him definitely... I get full support from my parents, them, for sure. You know, as much as them is both Christians and thing, and you know, Rasta thing,
mm-hmm.
different from what them
Rasta's
expect
still
and thing.
Christian is still, you know,
nothing of them eyes, you know, yeah. And through me, you know, me no go church and them something there, so you know, I'm sure my mother would have loved to see me go church. But go every once in a while with her still,
fine.
Just for
at least you can, you know, pop up with her.
Good, yeah,
mom, that's nice, man. At least he comes with you. You know, some man don't even, some husbands don't even go to church with their wife.
Yeah, exactly.
So you know.
Yeah, well, my father and I really took a church again.
See?
Still, but, you know, but definitely the support there. My thing about my father especially is that once you take care of yourself and you present yourself, whether you have beard or not, as long as you're respectable and, you know what I mean, you dress well and, mm-hmm. you look presentable. Mm-hmm. Yeah, him cool, you know. And yeah, parents always love to see you when you make a living for yourself.
That's
at
right.
the end of the day, that's all they want. They want to know so you can provide for yourself and your family and things. Yeah.
Let's talk about fashion. Are you into fashion?
not more than the next one. You know? I mean,
because no, there's some man that love like yeah, for a friend like Diggy loves style and fashion and them something there.
Yeah,
so
him probably more into it than me still. You know, my manager I'll be into fashion too.
Yeah.
Yeah, him would feel like him would have him own clothing line and them thing there. You know, I kinda get into it like my life for shop. You know, my life for shop and buy nice things and nice clothes and you know, but I wouldn't say me into it like that.
Okay.
You know, but my always want to look good. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to talk about? What jars? No, it's a reasoning. So, if is there anything that grinds your gears, like, you know, this thing really fucking annoys me, that you'd like people to know, that just fucking annoys me. Because before I speak, before it gets, my last podcast, I did something on it, rants and raves about Instagram, things on Instagram that annoys me, like. The weave people that keep following you.
Definitely people who post too much. And people who post one bag of picture with them children on Instagram. Like people post on Instagram to get likes. That's what it comes down to. People want to get likes, people want to raise them thing. And I understand if you have a private page and it's only your close family members and them thing there, but people just post pictures of them children in public every day just because them children look cute. I don't like that. Like, me wouldn't do that.
I think some kids just...
It's like, use them.
Life. Yeah.
Yeah.
To get a like. Oh, my kid's so cute.
Yeah.
I recognize your kid's cute. I don't need to see your kids 10
That's
times.
That's what I'm saying. Like, once every now and then.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
I get it. I'm like that too. Anything else that grinds your gears? When you wrote Mr. Politician Man... Was that something that you were just annoyed by, or is it just something that you just oversaw? And
I mean, I'm not saying Rasta bun politics, like, you know, that is just a part of the thing. So every time we see a news report say the government do something else was stupid, it's like it just give you ammunition for your song. So when you read say them make the Chinese build the road and the Chinese are gonna collect the toll for 25 years.
That's just, we've just basically, they've made Jamaica one big prostitute with her legs open saying, come and fuck me.
There you go.
This is reasonings, guys.
As vulgar as possible. That's it.
But it is. It's different. It's just like that.
No, you're right. It's 100% right. And that's why I would do songs like Well Done, man. Just to address it. You know, like when you really see, people just get up and vote because them get some Kentucky for eat.
And $5,000.
Yeah. You get a little bus ride, go somewhere with a little pocket change and that's it. You sell away your vote. And we don't have a vote on policies in Jamaica.
No.
It's just people. We just give all the power to these people. Not like even in America where you can say, all right, I could vote for make weed illegal. Them think that don't happen in Jamaica.
No.
It's just never for decide it.
What do you think about the legalization of somewhat weed and people out there's dispensaries being open, but they're not being owned by Jamaicans?
It's impossible for Jamaicans for the average Jamaican to own it, because you have to get like 10 different licenses and you end up spending hundreds or thousands of dollars. Who can afford that?
Don't you think that a collective of black brothers or Jamaicans together should get together at least to own their own dispensary here?
Jamaicans don't get together to do things. That is a fact. You know, that we have a long history. They said that no slave ship was brought directly to Jamaica from Africa. Mm-hmm. They went to other islands and all the most rebellious people, slaves, whatever you want to call, were taken to Jamaica. So we're talking people from different tribes, different parts of Africa. Just mix up in this one place, and the most rebellious, the most
unruly,
that is who we are. So that's why it's hard for we come together. We are the most brilliant, when, you know, we're the smartest, we are the star of them, but at the same time we're very self-centered. You know, so I just it got difficult for really. There's no trust, and then there's a culture of poverty in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
So people don't trust each other when it comes to money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one person make it, people are a bad mind them and carry them down and them thing. It's just them thing that happen when people grow up the way we grow up.
How do you think we can change that? Because we have so much children that are growing up now who are young, and you start them young. I was just talking to a sister just now
mm-hmm.
about me being so pro-black, and it's been instilled into me from I was age 2.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think we can go about that with our young youth here in Jamaica to instill some of this no bad mind? And you know,
people need income,
people so more need, jobs,
yeah, more jobs, more sustainable sources of income. People, you know, we need, like, right now, why we don't have, like, solar electricity in the whole of fucking Kingston? Like, come on. I mean, it's not, look how much sunlight come at Jamaica.
Exactly.
You have so much land out there where you could have just have solar farms, wind farms, all of them things. And just, if people did have electricity and energy, you know how much problems would have solved? You know how much business got out of business in Jamaica?
Because
the number one cause of business is going bankrupt in Jamaica is because of energy costs. You know, and it's just a shame. People have a right to certain basic things, and there is the ability to do it, but there's not the intent. The intent not there, because people know, say, yo, as long as we stay in power, as long as people stay uneducated and ignorant and without income, we are going to be able to stay in power and scrape up as much money as we can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's rough.
It's rough, but it's beautiful.
Of course, it's the most beautiful place. Like, that's the greatest thing about Jamaica, is like, as much as Jamaica bad, it's hard for you to take up yourself and just say, oh, you got left and don't come back.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, it's rough, but it's just a beautiful place, and there's so much potential, and the people, the energy, the creativity, the arts. Right now, Jamaica can do a lot more for ourselves when it comes to the arts.
Mm-hmm.
Cause really,
we need to start copywriting everything that we're doing as well.
And that's a good step.
Because I did an interview not long ago for Channel 4 about that.
Mm.
And they are, you know, the interviewer asked me, shouldn't we just feel good about somebody acknowledging your thing? And I was just like, my soundbite is no. Give me my money. Give me my money and pay me. Because they rip off everything. From there was an article that was just out about reggaeton,
mm-hmm.
and they find every other thing to just say reggaeton is this, reggaeton is that, reggaeton is dancehall.
That's the whole. You see, if we were even getting the recognition,
mm-hmm.
it would have shift up a whole heap of things. But not even that we are get. When them use with sound, them don't even give we the recognition, mm-hmm. or say, oh, this are come from.
Don't
Jamaica.
You think we need to call them out a lot more though?
No, definitely. For sure, but a lot of us don't have the platforms and the level where them even are going to be aware. You know, it's like, we can talk about it here in Jamaica, but unless we go on fucking national TV in the US or England, mm-hmm. and talk about it, Rihanna them and Drake, them not going to really know, mm-hmm. what's going on, unless Popcorn tell them. You know?
No, yeah. They know. Drake, yeah. knows. Rihanna knows. Well, Rihanna thinks she's Jamaican anyway, so mm. she's Bajan. It's near enough for her. But yeah. Drizzy, I will talk to Drizzy yeah. about the same thing. I think it's an issue. Like, even his last thing he posted.
They just need to just
say it's us.
Interview and just say where it come from, no?
Yeah.
Like, how hard is that? But them know, say if them do that, them give away all the power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and them can't, them don't want to do that. So, yeah, you know, I think we just have to be more cognizant of what they are doing to take our music and making it more palatable to the world stage.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a difference in the sound quality. There's a difference in certain aspects of the composition and the songwriting and them thing that we need to be more cognizant of, mm-hmm. them thing there on an international level. So that when we produce music and put it out, it's undeniable and it can play upon any radio station. Different from the sound, because the style of music, you know, it don't matter, you know, but when you press play and it sound a certain way,
mm-hmm.
them thing that can play anywhere in the world. Because we see Magic do it,
mm-hmm.
with Rude and them, mm-hmm. song there. Whole heap of Bruno Mars do it, mm-hmm. straight reggae tracks, mm-hmm. we talk one drop, mm-hmm. reggae, and them do it. But when you listen it, it sound like, it just sound like pop music.
Mm-hmm.
Just the sound quality and all them things. So we have to know what about it gives it that sound, so we have a chance.
That everybody can connect to it.
Yeah. You know?
Well, my father did it. Jimmy Cliff did it back in the day.
Of course.
I don't see why we can't take a little bit and...
No, for sure. But, you know, a lot of the connection to the history, not there. Like reggae music not taught in schools. I don't know if that changed from when me left school in 2001. I'm going to learn nothing but reggae music in a school. Them teach us some little classical thing, a piano, and them give some European history and some slavery history and them thing there. But you don't know. You may not learn nothing about Jimmy Cliff in a high school.
See that?
And look at that. You don't learn nothing about Bob Marley in a high school.
Hey everyone, it's Jalen here from the Black Wealth Renaissance Podcast. If you're a fan of business podcasts, then be sure to check out and subscribe to the Black Wealth Renaissance Podcast, a show that covers business, career development, and tips to increase your income. And the best part, it's brought to you exclusively by the Revolt Podcast Network, anchored in hip-hop, powered by creators.
It's a shame, like, every youth in Jamaica should have a firm foundation in the history of reggae music. Because that is just like you go at Trinidad. Right now, every little youth have to learn how to play pan.
Mm-hmm. It's essential. It's a part of the curriculum.
Yeah.
We learned to play steel pan at school in England as
See
well.
That? You know, that's the culture there. Reggae music is the culture here. Every little youth supposed to know how to do something when it comes to reggae music. You know, and it's like we feel we're bigger than this because everybody want to be a doctor, a lawyer,
Yeah,
business,
I think it's a Caribbean thing. I don't even think Jamaican.
Yeah.
I think it's a Caribbean thing where parents still think that academically, being a lawyer and a doctor is going to get you somewhere.
Exactly.
And most of our children are creatives.
Mm-hmm.
And creatives right now are actually running the world and running the business because everything is a digital world now where if you don't have a creative doing your graphics or doing this and that, your business is gonna flop.
And then because of the stigma with it, is like there's also the reality that in Jamaica, the money that is being paid for creative work is much less than anywhere else in the world.
And they don't respect it.
Yeah, so naturally, if you have a talent, you're gonna look for go abroad.
Yeah.
You know, as much as there's so much competition abroad, but from you have it, so you will get work. But in Jamaica, when you watch the TV, you can see say, them now hire none of them youths for do the graphic work where you sit on the television.
Mm-hmm.
All the youth them who could do it on the standard of US, UK, international standard, them not hiring them because you're seeing the same graphics them from the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just them just have somebody on staff where them just give them a little salary for just do them thing. And we're just all right with it. We have a culture in Jamaica. We're from it. All right. You know? We're cool.
We need to have the resurgence again of, like, when myself, Kevin Lee, Grasskasa, we started the first cable channel in Jamaica. I think we need the younger youths, them again now, to start owning their own media and pushing our own media and forum out there. Because that's the only thing that's going to disrupt the old guard.
Yeah.
All right, so, boy, this is good. We're going to have another Reason Is Over when I done you at Ludi the next time again.
To be perfectly honest, I'm very bad at Ludi. I always get beat. I'm not telling a lie. Ludi is not my game, but we play Domino and we give you a 6.
No, I still don't get 6 love with Domino. I can't. I tore a bus and the old man them. I tore my father. And still can't give me 6 love. Coming back, right. I'm going to teach you Stop, Lock and Prisoner Ludi next time we come.
All right.
And everybody in this yard right here that we're out. Guys, it's a beautiful place. We're looking at the stars. We're in the yard. You can hear some of the cars passing, but it's just a good vibe. It's a good reasoning.
HQ, Skiba Avenue, Kencat. Yeah.
All right. That was Reasonings with Kabaka Pyramid and Odessa. Boom.
Is it the master plan?
Contraband,
it's taking up the farmer's land.
Contraband,
how it passed the border scan.
Contraband,
I end up in your daughter hand.
Contraband,
now what's in that recipe?
Contraband,
that giving me this stress relief.
Contraband,
sell more than rice and peas.
Contraband,
feels so damn good to me. Well now this fucking dog sniffing me. Pray to Jah didn't leave a one cliff on me. If they found one, they'd surely move swift on me.
and bleeding friends will surely be missing me. Meanwhile, gang is having that epiphany. I'm being searched by a squad named Tiffany. The way she girded me, my something gets stiff on me. Still, my slide through smooth like the chiffon be. As they're done searching the pyramid, they turn their attention to the drama kid. Dealing with the Rasta like an invalid, demonstrating how Babylon wicked. Where them ask for illegal substance, if these things were packaging, elder putting, shipping and the handling. These accusations are damaging. Them said them heard reggae artists trafficking.
Contraband,
is it the master plan?
Contraband,
taking up the farmer's land.
Contraband,
out past the border scan.
Contraband,
tying up in your daughter and.
Contraband.
Now what's in that recipe?
Anchovy.
That's giving me distress relief.
Anchovy.
It's still more than rice and peas.
Anchovy.
Thanks once again, guys, for tuning in. Please rate and subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to this podcast on and share with your friends. Also, head over to oaccessjamaica.com to see our past and present posts and follow us on all of our social media platforms, Oaccess Jamaica. I'm your host, Odessa. Linkage laters, guys. Peace.
Everybody loves McDonald's fries. So, yes, you accused your mom of stealing some of your fries on the way home. But the bag did feel a little light. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.